And after everything, we finally are back in Singapore for the original night race. But there's a question that's always been on my mind. Now that we have literally, 90% of the races in the second half of the season being night races, does that make Singapore any less special? Well, not in my mind, but I'd love to get everyone's take on the podcast. And why don't we start off firstly with F1 stats guru Sundaram. Sundaram, firstly, this is our Singapore GP preview. Welcome along. It's been a while since we've all recorded together. But does that change things for you? Because we've got this one, we've got Saudi Arabia, we've got Abu Dhabi, we've got Las Vegas. Every other race seems to be a night race. Like, what's the point anymore? Like, Singapore was meant to be the one night race. We don't have that anymore.
I think it's still very, very special because Singapore, like you mentioned, was the first ever night race. It was also the first ever night street race. And we didn't have another night street race until Saudi Arabia came along a couple of years ago. But there's just something about Singapore that makes it so special. The sort of challenge that comes with the time differences, the sort of hectic track it otherwise is, how humid and hot the conditions are, how difficult it is for the drivers. And there's just something about the floodlights in Singapore. It always makes the Ferrari look a lot more beautiful than what we see at other tracks. The light just hits very beautifully across the cars and the track. And it just makes the whole racing spectacle much more visually pleasing. Yeah. And we also get to see a lot of sparks once again. So although sometimes racing tends to get a little, boring at tracks such as Abu Dhabi, I think the night street races kind of up the excitement to a certain extent.
And I'll tell you what makes it exciting for me. This whole thing about time zone, you know, yes, they're going to race in Asia, but teams are going to live on European time zone. And I remember during my times of working at Force India, when I used to visit Singapore, we used to literally live on European time zone, like wake up at 2 in the afternoon, which was, 9 hours was the time gap between Singapore standard time and British standard time, because, hey, all teams are based in Great Britain, right? And we used to eat breakfast when it was way past maybe, lunchtime. We used to work through the night, literally, and then go to sleep just when it was daylight in Singapore. And the fun part for me at Force India was the marketing office was in India. So I was on Indian Standard Time, Singapore Standard Time, and British Standard Time, just because that's what the work needed. And so, yes, time zone is one of those things. And I love how the whole city, which literally is the country in itself, embraces Formula One, comes alive for Formula One. You walk to the circuit. You rarely do that, The circuit is literally just made up of roads all the time, barring from the start-finish straight, which is like the only permanent part of the circuit. So all in all, the original night race has been the model that pretty much everybody else has followed to become more attractive because, hey, their day races weren't as attractive before.
Clearly. And we're also going to Qatar after this one, which is also going to be a night race as well for some reason. I don't get it. Like, if we have so many night races, it just doesn't feel that special anymore. But Singapore always will find a way. Before we talk more about what to expect from this weekend, though, let's just introduce everyone. If you couldn't tell from that subtle flex right there, that folks was Kunal Shah, the former marketing head of the Force India F1 team, who's also an F1 consultant and an F1 expert on air for the Viaplay network in Norway. My name is Tomal Arora. I'm the host of the Indian Racing League on Star Sports. And this, of course, is the Inside Line F1 podcast. And this weekend, heading into the Singapore GP, the major talking points have to be, of course, around the new layout, the new liveries, and Max Verstappen. Because this time, we've got, frankly, a new circuit, it seems. Like, everyone's hell-bent on just chopping the Singapore circuit into something even smaller. Because we initially lost Singapore Sling, and after that one, we've now lost the infamous stadium section where Nelson Piquet crashed. So, what are they on about? Like, do they even want the Singapore circuit to survive, Sundaram? Like, they're just cutting it all apart.
You're talking about that section, especially when there's a lot of chatter going around Felipe Massa's 2008 championship. But yeah, the track is, I wouldn't say considerably shorter. It's roughly shorter by around 135 meters. And they've also added an additional lap on the overall race distance. But the fact is that it kind of makes that section of the track a little less hectic, I would say.
Yeah.
Because this is a track that had 23 corners up until last year. So there's a lot of gear changes, engines running hot, brakes running hot. But that sort of an extended straight right now gives a little bit of time for the brakes to cool down, the engines to cool down. We don't tend to see a lot of overtakes in Singapore, but you probably might see just a few, a little bit more, not drastically at least. It won't change drastically, but you might see a little bit more overtakes. But I'm very excited to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, that's a passing zone, isn't it, Kunal? Like four corners cut short, you've got a bit of an extra straight and you can make a move down there. So at last, all the complaints of Singapore not being a circuit they can pass. Well, there's, I think, three genuine bona fide passing opportunities where you've got turn one, you have got the end of the bridge, and then this one as well.
Yes, it might just be another passing opportunity, which, hey, guess what? Everybody loves in Formula One these days. But they've replaced 490-degree Mickey Mouse corners. Mickey Mouse being like slow corners. That's the term we use in motorsport. At least I used in motorsport. They have replaced that with a long straight. So F1 drivers absolutely love it because they hate slow corners. Why? Because slow corners is where you can gain or lose most of your time, right? Because these cars are built for high-speed cornering, for example, right? But as a spectator, I love these slow corners because you want your drivers to work hard for it. But hey, that's just not there this year. I'm told this is a temporary layout change, primarily because there is some work ongoing in the city on those tracks or on that part of the track, which we're not going to race on anymore. And yes, this is going to be kinder on the tires, which means that tire degradation might not be as high. And the one team that's actually very excited about this change is Williams, because they said the old layout actually doesn't suit us as well as what the new layout would, because they've taken away the slowest corners and they've given us a straight. And guess who's quick on the straights? Alexander Albon in the Williams. Yes, Logan Sargeant can also be so, but he's still got to prove a little bit before his extension is announced, which we don't know if it's actually happened. But that's with the straight. Like Sundaram said, cooling, braking, it helps with all those efficiencies. One of the other things is I love the hectic lap that happens around Singapore. It's going to be a little less hectic, which means the drivers get a bit of more breathing space, which is not always great. I love the entertainment. I love when drivers get out of the track, remove the helmet, and they're like, that was one hell of a busy race for me.
And it's going to happen at some point because we all particularly love that first sector and how the racing eventually comes about there. Because once you survive turn one, two, and three, when you get past that long kinked straight, if you can call it that way, and then get to that braking zone, it's a place where you can always battle out against each other. And every single year, there's some degree of chaos. I mean, you need to just look at last year's race, right? Where Max Verstappen had an absolute howler. And there were so many drivers who got it wrong. So many drivers who made a trip to the barriers as well. And fun fact, folks, this year on the weather radar as well, it seems like there is going to be some degree of rain, which is even better, Sundaram, because it could mean more volatility and more jeopardy to Max Verstappen's winning run continuing. I mean, 11, right? Who wants that to happen? He's beaten Vettel's record. He doesn't have to rub it in now. Come on, it's over and done with.
No, but going back to the point about having yet another wet race weekend, we've had a lot of wet races this season, wet sessions, which have kind of really mixed things up. Not at the very front, but somewhere at least in between. But that also makes things a lot more actually difficult for drivers, because strategy is going to be very, very key around Singapore. Every single Singapore Grand Prix has had a safety car period, and it's been much more frequent in the last four or five races. So in terms of strategy, they will factor in at least one safety car or probably even two happening. But we've never had a red flag around here. So that also kind of mixes things up. So in that sense...
Wait, have we
and
not?
Plus you also...
Have we never
we've
had,
not
a
had red? If I'm not wrong, we've not had a red flag interruption completely. We've had safety car periods. We've had a VSC last year. And the other interesting fact is that the pit lane is extremely long. The pit loss time is one of the highest of the season, roughly between 25 to 27 seconds. So a lot of homework has to go behind figuring out your strategy before and even during the race.
And teams literally run a real-time strategy analysis. What if the safety car comes out this lap? What do we do? Because you know, that the trade-off is that you may lose some positions while pitting, but you may never gain them back because it's so difficult to overtake in Singapore. In fact, it's the second highest overtaking difficulty after Monaco, at least the old layout. They are assuming that the new layout will sort of make things a little bit more easier. But we will actually, interestingly, go from Monza, which is usually the fastest race to finish on the season, because, you know, there are races that have been finished in 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
To a race that usually has literally hit the 2 hour mark and has been truncated because of it breaching the 2 hour mark. So will that happen? Could that happen? Yes, the rain is at play. Another interesting thing, the humidity in Singapore is bloody high. Okay. And that humidity also means that when it rains, the track doesn't really end up drying. The water just stays on the circuit. And we've seen that in the previous races, that even though the rain has stopped several hours before, you're just running on the wet weather or the intermediate compound, depending on what's needed. Well, the drivers always prefer the intermediate. But yeah, you just keep running on them much later till you switch to a dry slick. So the challenge of Singapore is so high that for the first time, I think there is a genuine threat to Max Verstappen's race winning streak. And now the interesting thing here is last year he was on a 5-race winning streak, which ended in Singapore for no fault of his own. But hey, when you are on a 10-race winning streak, could that end with no fault of your own? And guys, here's a question. Will it be a popular driver who will end that streak? Or how popular or unpopular will the driver be who ends that streak? And imagine if that driver is Checo Perez, definitely the most unpopular driver. But if it's a non-Red Bull driver, I think it'll be one of the most popular wins in recent time in Formula One.
Come on, Kunal, put your money where your mouth is. Are you really betting on anyone to genuinely beat Verstappen's streak? Because the last I remember, in our mid-season episode, you bet for Max to win every race. Sundaram was the one that wasn't there.
I still bet that Max will win every race. He'll be thrown different challenges, but he has yet to put a foot wrong. And so has Red Bull. I mean, if we were to look at just, you know, last year in Singapore, Red Bull underfueled him and then everything else happened after that.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't go ahead and sort of win the race then, and Checo Perez won. And I think the one driver that Max hates losing to is Checo Perez. And if Checo Perez is the one who breaks that streak, my goodness, Max is going to hit him even more.
No, the interesting fact is the last night race that happened was in Saudi Arabia. Checo Perez won that. And last year's Singapore Grand Prix was also won by Checo Perez. And interestingly, Max Verstappen has never won in Singapore. It's one of the two tracks this year where he's raced at, the other being Qatar, the Losail track, where he's not won at. And more interestingly, Antonio Giovinazzi has led more laps at Singapore than Max Verstappen. Giovinazzi led 4 laps in 2019. Max Verstappen has led only 3 so far.
Yeah, I remember that 2019 race, actually. It was all totally weird, where we had Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc having their own issue in the middle and Antonio Giovinazzi leading 4 laps, just to add something for the stats books over there. No, but it's funny, Kunal, because this could genuinely be one of those races where chaos normally happens, right? I mean, we've seen 2017 as well, Verstappen being taken out by both the Ferrari drivers at the start. Not that that sets a precedent for anything this weekend, but it's a street circuit and chaos normally tends to happen. And guys, let me just try to bring out that fun nickname that used to be used at the early run, in the early part of the year. Sergio Perez, king of the streets. He still is, technically. Don't forget that. So even though I'm smiling very sarcastically as I say that, but king of the streets, guys, remember.
He is still the king of the street.
Streets?
The last 5. Yeah, king of the streets, right? Last 5 of Perez's win, last 5 wins of Checo Perez have been on street circuits. And yes, Max has not won a race in Singapore. He's been on the podium a couple of times. He also doesn't have a pole position out here, right? So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be interesting. And I think 3 out of the last 6 qualifying sessions have been settled by less than half a tenth. So yet again, Saturday is going to be bloody exciting for all of us. And talking of Antonio Giovinazzi, he actually won Le Mans with Ferrari, which we all know, which is, I don't know, more popular in Italy than Max Verstappen winning 10 in a row and creating that record. I mean, winning Le Mans with Ferrari is probably epic. So Giovinazzi has led more laps in Singapore than Max and has won at Le Mans with Ferrari.
It's not only Verstappen who doesn't have a pole position. It's actually Red Bull. Red Bull don't have a single pole position at Singapore in the hybrid era. But what they have done is they've been on the podium every single time since 2010.
Yeah.
So that's another streak which Red Bull have managed to do in Singapore, at least finishing within the top three. And no other team apart from Mercedes, Red Bull and Ferrari have stood on the podium in Singapore in the hybrid era. So you're talking about probably a popular or an unpopular driver who could probably end up winning. I think it could still be one of a driver from one of these teams that might make it to the podium.
Yeah. And that's what's going to be really interesting. Can other teams challenge? Can we see an Aston Martin for once on the podium as well? I know if you look at it, it's the same old story, right? But if there's any circuit where Fernando Alonso should be doing well and that Aston Martin should be performing, it hopefully is this one. I mean, at this stage, considering how the hope and despair has just been sucked out, I can only hope. I can't say that they should be doing well because it's just Aston Martin's second half of the year. It's been horrible so far, where even the tracks that seemed ideally good places for the team are just not really playing out well. So there's just some degree of optimism left. Let's just hope that they stick up to that. But maybe things could change because of a new technical directive, Kunal, because flexi wings now are on the target once again. Formula One, or rather the FIA, has come clamping down with the technical directive, saying that you've got to fix them and make them flex a little less. So I think AlphaTauri will be the worst hit. They've got the literal flex box logo on their car, and if it doesn't flex anymore, they can't really take money for that. So that's a sponsorship wasted. I don't know.
Well, they also tested a dynamic sponsorship panel earlier in the week. Yeah, something which McLaren did last year. So because McLaren did it last year, they said, oh, now it's time for us to do it because we couldn't have done it last year. Anyway, bad joke.
So they did Ricardo last year and so did it Ricardo this year. That's what the AlphaTauri plan is. Fair. Makes sense.
But talking on the technical directives, it's very simple. Where there are wings, they'll be flexing. And this is where, you know, my mind comes to all those videos on social media where they say airline wings can flex up to 50%. And then you literally see in turbulence, the wing, you know, wings going up and down. And that's where I'm sure the FIA, personnel who've written these rules go up saying, my God, they shouldn't flex that much. That's against our rules, you know. But yes, of course, it's airline wings versus Formula One wings. But flexing has always been around in Formula One. There are tricks that teams use where they can show that the wings are not flexing under static load, but in dynamic load. Basically, static load is when the car's standing, not moving through air, and so on. And, you know, it's told that Aston Martin were pulled up for it in Azerbaijan, Baku, whenever that last happened. Hence, they've slowed down. Could this be something that could affect Red Bull? Could this slow them down? Because, you know, we've seen that through various mechanisms, and they're not most obvious mechanisms, FIA does try and slow down the fastest team. Like we saw, you know, there was a new construction of tire which came through and so on in the middle of the season. So yes, flexing is there, and yes, the FIA is going to try and keep teams away from their tricks, but the teams are always smarter than the FIA usually.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun to watch how this whole aspect develops. And let's see if there's any performance changes, because we remember last year when there was the high technical directive introduced, that completely changed things in 2022. And then Ferrari started to sort of disappear back up into the midfield as well. But let's see if this one has as many changes as well. Speaking of changes though, there are many. Special liveries are back because it's Singapore and people are excited, including myself, because McLaren now firstly have come up with this really cool stealth livery for Japan and for Singapore as well, where they've just gone black and orange instead of orange and black, if that makes any sense. And it looks damn cool, Sundaram. I think, honestly, it just has to be the livery of the year. But then it has to also compete with the white and orange McLaren, which was equally as good, the Triple Crown one. But I can't seem to pick. McLaren are just nailing their liveries these days.
I think this is one McLaren livery that I will definitely approve. I don't think so. I approved the last one. But I don't know if this can be called a livery, because it just seems like the bare McLaren chassis is just completely black. It's also a way of, you know, trying to save weight and make the car slightly more quicker. But I definitely love the McLaren livery, and especially the Williams livery, the Gulf spawn, the partnership that they have with Gulf. That really looks extremely beautiful. And whenever we have Gulf liveries, it just adds a completely different dimension when you see these cars zipping around. That happened a couple of years ago with McLaren and Monaco. The Williams one, I particularly love it. I think it's great.
What do you think of liveries, Kunal? Because we've had livery chats on the podcast so many times, but I've never heard your take. Like, for some reason, do you not look at liveries at all?
You've never heard my take. Now you do get to, but I never look at liveries at all. Yes, I understand and appreciate what goes in, because I used to design liveries for Force India, you know, hot areas, cold areas, what we spoke about in, you know, one of the Force India series podcasts, Samuel. But no, I don't really look at them. It's great. It's great because the teams make money from different liveries. But I'm also in this space where, can you please give me a consistent livery? And more importantly, a consistent driver helmet. So I can just recognize a driver without needing to, you know, each time learn, oh, this is a new, you know, livery, or this is a new driver helmet design for this driver and so on. I think somebody's getting a new driver helmet, or lots of them are getting them. I just almost never bother with them.
But Stealth McLaren, look at how beautiful it is. Gulf Williams, it's
They are gorgeous. It's just, in my mental and physical and emotional bandwidth with all the Formula One news and stories that happen, I'm like, liveries are the least interesting or least important to me. I mean, you put a bare naked car with any color, without any color, and make it go quick and win, I'm more interested in that.
I mean, considering how Max is dominating, the rest of us are just so focused on the liveries. It just is unfair. I think we're all spoiled because of the lack of action up top. But no, hopefully there's more. But guys, predictions before we end. Who do you think really takes it? Because Kunal is now putting his money where his mouth is. He's going to bet for Carlos Sainz. I know. he's going to follow me in that route as well. I'm always betting for Carlos Sainz. But what about you, Sundaram?
I think we could see something special from McLaren this time.
Oh. Hmm. Okay, what's on your mind? Piastri or Sainz? Sainz.
Sainz has left a couple of years ago.
My heart still says Carlos Sainz somewhere, but you're saying?
I think it would be Lando Norris. I'm playing it safe.
And what about you, Kunal? Like, come on, you've got to bet for Carlos, right?
I will bet for Carlos just because you will bet for Carlos, just so that you... No, but Carlos has had the momentum. Let's remember, you know, after the summer break, he out-qualified Leclerc 2 times in 2 races. Seems like the more comfortable driver in that Ferrari, etc., etc. But I'll tell you the one driver, or two drivers, I'm really excited for. First is Zhou Guanyu. He doesn't have a home race, but this is the closest to his home race. Could there be an announcement of sorts? Which, of course, I mean, could there be an announcement towards his renewal, because if they was to make one, this is probably the best race to make one, because there will be a lot of Chinese fans in the stands. Similarly, for Alexander Albon, if the Williams is half as good as they expect it to be around this circuit. Remember, high downforce, Sandford, they did really well. Long straights in Monza, they did really well. Singapore is suddenly a mix of all that with the new layout. And again, geographically, this is one of the closest races for the Thai fans, if at all they're coming out to cheer for him. And you all said there's a new Gulf livery. So could Alexander Albon be in the running for various things? And he's actually scored 10 points in the last 2 races, which is more than Leclerc and I think George Russell or whatever. So those are my two drivers to look out for. And then always Checo Perez. Whenever there is pressure to qualify,
oh yeah,
he almost never qualifies. So
oh, yeah,
let's
We've not spoken
about Perez. Yeah, single qualifying, yeah. Street circuit. His challenge is Saturday, not the Sunday.
Yeah, Sergio could be winning as well. So keep an eye out on that one, folks. But if you are in Mumbai this Sunday, join us at Versova Social, because we're going to have a really fun event over there. That's not just going to have a really exciting pre-race and post-race show, but there's also going to be the race that you can watch together with us as a part of the community. And of course, the quiz hosted by F1 Stats Guru as well. So check out the link to our next Inside Line F1 Pit Stop by clicking on the description of this episode. And folks, otherwise, in case you've enjoyed this episode, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please share and subscribe to this podcast in case you really enjoyed it. And we'll be back for the Singapore GP review on Monday. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.